Veeam, radical resilience starts here.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Tuesday, April 30th. I'm Alex Osola for The Wall Street Journal. Coming up on today's show, scammers are fooling recent college grads looking for jobs, and they're using artificial intelligence to do it. We'll hear more about the scams and how you can protect yourself from WSJ Workplace reporter Ray Smith. And investors are pouring money into startups built around artificial intelligence. It's pushing some companies to billion-dollar valuations, even if they don't have a product yet. WSJ Venture Capital reporter Berber Jin joins us to talk about whether this has the makings of an AI bubble. But first, fraudsters have long tried to get personal information out of people online. But now, with the help of AI, these scams have gotten a lot more sophisticated. In the latest version, fraudsters are targeting recent college grads looking for jobs. WSJ Workplace reporter Ray Smith joins me now with more. Ray, what are some of the scams targeting recent college grads looking for jobs?
Some of the scams are a lot more evolved. They're using actual professor names or faculty member names to contact students, and that's supposed to give these messages, you know, an air of legitimacy because the student feels, I know that professor or I know that faculty member, and the messages are in the guise of so-and-so recommended you for this job opening or this internship. And in some cases, they're also using students' actual student emails as opposed to their personal emails. And that's another sort of evolution of these scams. They're becoming a lot more personal and targeted.
What is the actual goal of these scams?
The goal is to ultimately get these students to divulge their financial information, whether it's banking information or credit card information. They slowly lead up to that. They want to get as much information as possible, get you comfortable sort of revealing your experience and your school experience as well. And then they ultimately say, we'd like your banking information. And they'll claim that they need it because they want to send you your first paycheck.
And once they have your financial information, what happens?
What tends to happen in some of these schemes is under the guise of a first paycheck, they'll say, deposit this check, and then you do. And then once you do, they'll turn around and say, you're going to buy your work from home equipment with that money. Ultimately, the check bounces and that money is withdrawn from your banking account and you're on the hook for it. So that's one of the ways that these schemes work.
Why do these scammers target college grads?
We talked with a couple of experts who told us they are particularly vulnerable, especially because they spend so much of their lives online. They're comfortable being online and on social media and sharing a lot of things. So that's one reason, but also because they're just a lot more inexperienced at job hunting and the proper ways of hearing from people about jobs. And this is a particularly tough job market for college grads. So a lot of them are eager to hear back.
The Federal Trade Commission has warned that the number of overall recruiting scams reached a new peak last summer and has stayed elevated since then. Why is this happening now?
A lot of us are still working from home or working hybrid at least, but the working from home phenomenon that started with COVID, that's been a big reason why these scams have increased because a lot of these offers dangle remote opportunities. And they've evolved. They've gotten a lot more sophisticated. A lot of people told me it's much harder to sniff these out because the obvious tells are gone.
For job seekers who don't want to fall for scams, what should they keep in mind? What kinds of tells should they look for, even with these new, more sophisticated scams?
A couple of things some experts and some watchdog groups told us was basically anytime that you are being contacted, verify that the company exists. Or one expert told me just like Google the company or the email that you're hearing from, and then type in scam, and you'll probably find something on Reddit or something online that says that you're not the only one getting this. Another thing that you should do is be aware of any email message that is asking you to download some other app like Messenger platforms. And also just be aware if there's an indication that there's going to be an interview, but you never deal with an actual person that you can see where they want to do the interview all by chat. That is definitely a red flag that something is not right and you should raise eyebrows.
That was WSJ Workplace reporter Ray Smith. Coming up, how can a company be worth $1 billion if it doesn't have a product yet? That's after the break.
Build a stronger future with Veeam, the global leader in data protection and ransomware recovery. Protect and restore any workload, anywhere, anytime, instantly, and get comprehensive recovery and tailored solutions that scale with you. Visit veeam.com to learn more. Veeam, radical resilience starts here.
Funding for startups overall may have slowed down, but for startups focused on AI, it's heating up. Last year, investors poured more than $20 billion into generative AI deals, sometimes for companies that haven't turned a profit or don't have a product. WSJ Venture Capital reporter Berber Jin is here to tell us more about this ecosystem and how it could evolve in the future. Berber, investors are pouring money into AI. What does this mean for small startups?
We're in this very unique moment now where investors are extremely excited about AI, but they don't really know what business models centered around AI will look like in the future. And so what's happening is that investors are pouring sometimes hundreds of millions of dollars to back really young companies that don't really have a product, revenue. It's oftentimes just a really talented team of researchers or founders who've been successful in Silicon Valley in the past. And they're just taking a gamble that they'll strike gold at the right time and be able to ride the wave of this technology and develop something really fast before anyone else.
Can you give us an example of one of those startups?
Imbue is a great example. So they were a startup that, like many other companies last year, they raised over $200 million from investors, including NVIDIA and Eric Schmidt, the former Google CEO. But they really didn't have much of a business plan. Their CEO has a very lofty vision of developing intelligent computers that can become our companions and complete tasks for us and give us advice using generative AI, but it's still a very abstract vision. They haven't released a product. They don't really have a path to a sustainable business model or generating revenue. But again, it's a talented team of researchers who have been given a lot of money to play around with AI and see where it takes them, which is very unusual in Silicon Valley. I mean, even during the peak of the sort of startup bull market of the past decade, you would see a lot of startups get richly valued, get money when they're still very early into like developing a product or selling something tangible to customers. But the weird thing about AI is like the technology is so new, it costs oftentimes hundreds of millions of dollars or even billions of dollars to train these large language models. And so investors are kind of in this bind. They're used to writing single or double digit million dollar checks for these young companies. But at the same time, you know, if they miss out on an investment that could become the world's first trillion-dollar AI startup, they're going to regret that for the rest of their lives.
How common is it for startups not to have a product as they're seeking investment?
It became more common during the low interest rate era when a lot of money was flowing into Silicon Valley. But most of those investments were usually like single or double-digit million-dollar investments. Because software traditionally is like not a very capital-intensive business. AI is very different. It's a capital-intensive business where you have to sink a lot of money into the computing power and the data centers and the GPUs. So in many ways, it's not in the rule book for how investors are used to valuing software companies.
So would you say what's different about this moment is not just the difference between software and AI, but the actual amount of money that is flowing around here?
Yes. I mean, last year, there was upwards of $20 billion that went into AI investments. And a better statistic might be, and this is from a presentation that Sequoia Capital gave in March, the AI industry spent $50 billion on training the language models that power chatbots like ChatGPT. But last year, AI startups only brought in around $3 billion in revenue.
You write that some people are concerned that this frenzy around AI is fueling a bubble. Why do you say that?
In Silicon Valley, first of all, fears of startup valuations growing high are not new. People were saying all sorts of companies that ended up becoming really successful were overvalued. And, you know, there is an element of companies that people say are overvalued today might actually turn out to be really great businesses. But the concerns of the startup bubble are related to how investors are willing to just ditch the traditional rules that they apply to valuing companies and are just slapping any buzzy AI startup with like a $1 billion valuation. 10 years ago, hitting a $1 billion valuation was a huge milestone for a business. But now what you see is that a lot of these AI startups are becoming $1 billion companies just a few months after they've been founded. I mean, one example we have in the story is Cognition, which is a startup that was incorporated in January, and they just closed a funding round that values them at $2 billion. That's another example of a company working on a really promising technology, autonomous coding assistance that can essentially supplant a lot of the work that engineers currently do, but they haven't publicly released a product. And so then in your head, you're kind of like, how do these investors rationalize giving a $2 billion valuation to this company when there's not much you can point to in the way of revenue or cash burn or path to profitability? It is just selling an idea.
Tell me what is next in this space as it matures and as investors get more sophisticated in knowing what they're looking for.
The question mark is really around finding a business model that is really attractive, that people are willing to pay a lot of money for, that at the same time can be a profitable business. What the industry is betting on is that these language models will become cheaper to train over time as the chips become more efficient, as the algorithm behind the models become more intelligent and accurate and precise, that the costs will come down over time.
That was our venture capital reporter, Berber Jin. And that's it for Tech News Briefing. Today's show was produced by Julie Chang, with supervising producers Melanie Roy and Catherine Millsop. I'm Alex Osola for The Wall Street Journal. We'll be back this afternoon with TNB Tech Minute. Thanks for listening.
Build a stronger future with Veeam, the global leader in data protection and ransomware recovery. Protect and restore any workload, anywhere, anytime, instantly, and get comprehensive recovery and tailored solutions that scale with you. Visit veeam.com to learn more. Veeam, radical resilience starts here.